to the ninth and the continuing of Shiurim on the Yud Gimel Midrash Atten Nedreshet Bahem, the ninth lecture of the continuing series of the 13 hermeneutical principles through which the scripture is interpreted. At the end of last week's Shia, we spoke about Rabbi Akiva. And we spoke about the fact that Rabbi Akiva, evidently, both from what Chazal say regarding him in general, and also from the machlokes dispute we saw between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel regarding the klal to partaklal, Rabbi Akiva darshens a riboy mitu riboy, it would appear that Rabbi Akiva, in a certain sense, as we explained it, collapsed the midas from what you would say using abstract principles to, in fact, uncovering the oral law from every little detail of the Torah Shebech Chasav. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is the, as Chazal say, Menachas Chavtesim Abeis, is Deresh Kisrei Oisias. In other words, and this we saw last week was the meaning of that which Rabbi Akiva says both in Laman Zayin and in Masechta Sota and also another place, Yerushal Mishkalim, that Rabbi Akiva says that the klolos, klotim and klolos were given at Sinai. Namely that every detail of the oral law or every detail of the written law expresses part and parcel of the oral law. So as for Rabbi Akiva, as we saw in Bechilta too, the oral law and the written law are indistinguishable. And that's how we learned the Sefroa, Teres Kahanim, at the end of Chukosai, that Tana Kama, which I wanted to identify as Rabbi Shmuel, Darshend Es HaTeres means the Teres Shvaksav and the Teres Shvial Pet. There are two Teres. And Rabbi Kiri asked the question, you tell me there are only two Teres, so Teres HaEla, Teres Shlomim, there are many Teres. But namely, the fact is that Rabbi Kiva understood that there isn't a written law and an oral law. And the bridge between them is an absolute set of logical principles necessarily. Rabbi Kiva also is money to the midas, but that every aspect of the written law gives expression to the oral law. For Rabbi Kiva, the written oral law are actually one and the same. And that was the machlokes in the Mechilta, in Parshas Yisrael, So Rabbi Akiva says, So according to Rabbi Akiva, Ri and Shmir are actually the same capacity. They're the same function. Ri meaning the Torah Shebech Chasav, Shmir meaning the Torah Shebech Peh. For Rabbi Akiva, Torah Shebech Peh at the oral law at the time of Sinai were one and the same. And then even after that, while there is a seeming bifurcation, since the klolim are given at Sinai as well as the platim, one can ultimately recover all of the oral law from the written law itself, and that's called Deresh Kisrei Oisias, not necessarily through abstract midas, which was postulate, which posit a distinction between oral and written law, but rather it's all one and the same. That's the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, that's a summary of Shiur number 8. Now, but Rabbi Akiva is more radical. I'm going to reveal this evening, this afternoon, whatever part of the globe you're on, that Rabbi Akiva is actually more radical. And I want to begin with the Rambam. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, says the Rambam, Bez Din HaGadol, we're speaking about the Bez Din HaGadol that's at in the Lushkas in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, Lushkas HaGozes, which he speaks about in Perek Aleph, says the Rambam, Perek Beis Hilchos Mamrim Halacha Aleph, Bez Din HaGadol, Shadar Shubachas Min Amitas, Bez Din HaGadol, that used one of the midas. Kefi mashinira beinayim. In other words, they darshan one of the midas in accordance with how they understood to interpret the Torah. Shadin kach v'denu din. In other words, they used one of the midas in order to come up with a halacha from the Torah Shebech Chasav, and they, in fact, paskin, they ruled according to that law. It goes on and says, v'omen aleim bezdin acher. Another bezdin. The next generation, the generation after that, comes along. And this Bezdin disagrees. They find a reason that they can argue on the din that's derived using one of the midas of the first Bezdin. Because Bezdin number 2 comes along and argues or takes issue with the din that's learned by the first Beis Din using one of the midas. So says the Rambam, paskas the Rambam, hareza saisa. So the second Beis Din has rishus, has permission to argue and overturn and overrule the din of the first Beis Din. And the second Beis Din can rule and use, in other words, so for example, if someone uses a meter in one way, someone come along and use the meter another way. Or use another meter. Okay? Shenema, like it says, Ela Shefet Ashi Yevayim Mehe. So, the Rambam posted, of course, the pasuk from Parshas Shaftim. You should come to the Shefet Yevayim Mehe. Ena Tachai Melechas Ela Acha Bezin. And of course, sometimes you go by the shape of your generation, that's the meaning of the pasuk. Right, now this is, of course, we're speaking about a Beis Din that uses, you know, one of the, you know, a logical rabbinical principle, right, to derive halacha. Of course, if the Beis Din makes a takana, there's something different. The Rambam speaks about that in Halach of the Beis, and that you need godel b'chok v'minyan, that's a separate issue, a separate shia, a separate series of shiur. We're not going to go into that right now. Now, this is a little bit of a shocking thing. I mean, how can one Beis Din overturn the drasha of another Beis Din? If the drashas, if you believe, the, if, you know, if the drashas are in fact halacha mishmi Sinai, come from Sinai, so how can another Beis Din overturn a previous drasha? I don't want to go into this right now, but let's accept the Rambam kipshutai. The question is, what is the bakor of the Rambam? Where did the Rambam get this? How did the Rambam know that the second Beis Din come along and overturn the drasha of a previous Beis Din? Right? Certainly, according to the Rambam, Parashat Mishnayos, right? We know, and it's Masha to the Hakdam of the Rambam Mishnah Torah, that there were drushes that were generated after the, in other words, after the time of the, after the, you know, after the, after Har Sinai.
But this is in the Hakdam?
This is in the Rambam Hakdam of Parashat Mishnayos. The Rambam says only halachos mekubalos, right? Our halachos should be Sinai. But the Rambam says any place where there's a machloek, because the Rambam Shere Sheni too. In the Sefer Mitzvahs, indicates that Drosha the Rabbanim means, doesn't mean the Rabbanim there, but in the Raisa, but the Rambam clearly indicates there that there are many Droshas in Chazal, Rambam was saying most Droshas in Chazal were actually generated later on after Sinai. Those of you who are interested in this, I refer you to the Rishimo issue, the first issue of Rishimo, there I speak with the Shoshay and the Rambam. But that's not the point what I want to get into right now. But in any case, the question is, where did the Rambam get this? What is the Makor of the Rambam? With the Rambam. So, in other words, I think in the case of Mishnah, he wants to claim that the Rambam, that of course, the Rambam got this because we see the later Moroyim argue on earlier Moroyim. I think he wants to say maybe that time or tonight. That could possibly be, but that's not, I don't think the later Moroyim or earlier Moroyim is a raya that you can overturn a drasha. The Moroyim didn't make original drashas. So, I don't think that. But now, I saw in the Osameach, actually, I saw many years ago, the Osameach, and that's why I'm bringing this tonight. The Osameach wants to bring a raya from the famous Gemara in Hillel and B'nai B'Seima that we spoke about. We actually began the series of Shi'urim with the Gemara in Psochem, Taf Samach Vav Mun Aleph, and there was an issue that arose during the time of B'nai B'Seima, who was the Gedolei Hador at that time, as in the Sanhedrin. Right, if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat, you get called Pesach.
This is also numbering 2-1.
This is.
Wait, Mamma. Osameach and
Hilchot. Oh, right. Osameach, Peri Pesach Aleph, and Hilchot's Mamma. Right. So the Osameach says, right? Muchach de Medova had Nidrash Bimitos. It's clear, and of course I bring for Osameach, I have a Kabbalah from my Rebbe. My Kabbalah from my Rebbe is that. The last Jew to absolutely know Mabish Kotel Kula was in a tzir. But he says, it could possibly also that it's not the Osameach. But certainly the Osameach is the person who I would expect to find the Maramakim in Shas. So Osameach says, Muchach, the Madova, Nidus Mimida, Sheshi Chos Bezdin, Hakotel Machlok al Godel Hakoyba. In other words, it says the Osameach, it's clear that even a Bezdin Kotel, as opposed to the Xeris, the Takadosh, the Godel Hakoyba Vivinia. But a smaller Beis Din can argue with a greater Beis Din in a previous Beis Din, even one of the midas. So says the Osameach, V'lachach asi Shabbat v'ashadanu in Beis Din Dechah Shabbos. And that was the whole discussion, whether Pesach is Dechah Shabbos, the Gemara in Samach Vav Mun Aleph and Psachim. Haganda b'chol hazmanu m'shchicha pesach b'shabbos. Right? So, even though there were many times before that in history that Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos, Rav Shachar was Shmua. He was in a, forgot the Shmua, or whatever it is, right? The Savu does a nilma midas shatrit ha-tur din rosh b'hem, u'kamod ha-dan hilal, b'tchila v'lem ha-yud shuvas ha-ve, v'mkein yachum hein ha-klok ha-la-kadmoyne. In other words, Hillel made a drosha, and they started arguing with him. Until Hillel said, "Mipi Hashmua, I heard Mishmai v'yavtalya."
Hillel was saying the same.
Hillel made a drosha, and they started arguing with him.
What was the previous?
I don't know. I guess Pesach was always like a Shabbos. It was always about Kimbring and Ayin that Hillel was overturning a previous Pesach because the minute of Yisrael was the Pesach of a Shabbos. Somehow they forgot the Shmuel.
So B'nai wanted to overturn.
They wanted to overturn, right? The whole Gemara, some of them else, means about they shrug them up until Hillel says, right? I have a Kabbalah Shmuel, we have Talia. So the Sameach wants to claim that we see from his that a smaller Besdin can overturn a larger Besdin. Because they saw lower than Hillel. Although, really, I'm not really understanding what the Sameach is. Hillel wasn't a Besdin. Anyway, Chas v'Shalom is a Shvach HaMaisin. But the Osamaya wants to bring a raya that until when Hillel said the Shmu Mishmai Vyavtalya, then he had a Kabbalah, then that was the name of quiet. It was Mashu, you could argue one of the meters.
So why should a Kabbalah be?
I don't know. That's what the Osamaya says. Ayin Osamaya, that's what he says. Okay? I'm not going to be Miyash of Osamaya, but that's what the Osamaya wants to bring a raya. Okay? Okay, now, it brings a reference, so it's not important. But what is the Makor of the Rambam? I want to claim the Makor of the Rambam, and I'm not sure I really understand the Osameach, you know. I mean, Chas v'Shalom, I don't want to dismiss him, but I want to say there's another more explicit Makor of the Rambam. And there's two Braises in Shas, and one involved, and they both involve the same person, Rabbi Akiva. There's a Gemara in Samach Dalet Amud Beis in Shabbos. It's the sixth paragraph in Shabbos, Bama Isha, Samach Dal Amud Beis. And the Gemara brings a braisa, V'hodva b'nidasa. Right? V'hodva b'nidasa. Which means, Epes, the Mashmor says that, right? Zekenim erishenim amru. What does it mean, V'hodva b'nidasa? Zekenim erishenim amru. The first Kenim said, Shaloi titchol, that a woman is a nida. Shouldn't, I guess, paint her eye, but like tifkois, you shouldn't, I guess, paint her face, for a discussion, you shouldn't wear jewelry. The big day tzavainim, and you shouldn't put jewelry on colored clothes. And Rashi explains why. It says, Rashi, hayudoshen harishayinim, kamashmo, the rishayinim, the other generations, understood the pasuk, which according to Rashi was the apparent meaning of the pasuk. The need is supposed to be someone who's sort of like removed from a husband. This is from a husband. In fact, actually, the Gemara says, I think, Chavov Benal from Rosh Hashanah, my nida galmuda, that she's removed from her husband. So she's not supposed to put up makeup, she's supposed to not look nice. And the Gemara says, Achibah Rabbi Akiva! Until Rabbi Akiva came, Vilim and he taught, in Kain Atamagan al Baila. If you tell a nida, a woman's a nida, that she can't put on makeup, she can't wear nice clothes, then she'll be ugly in front of her husband. Her husband, you know, she'll look terrible in front of her husband. But then it's a violent magalsha. Her husband will divorce her. Elamah Talmud loy mevadva benidasa. What are we learning from the pasuk benidasa? Benidasa teyat shetavu b'mayim. She's a nida, she goes to the mikveh. That's what Rabbi Akiva learns. And look at this interesting halacha here of the Yavetz. The Yavetz says, what does it mean that it says in the early generations they were, I guess, less physical. They were less concerned with how their wives look. And later generations, people were more concerned with how their wives look. So therefore, came Rabbi Akiva. But what do we see actually about Rabbi Akiva? No. The Yavetz says in the Hagoyes. This is the back of the Shas. What do we see before Rabbi Akiva? Kainim b'rishayim dash in the pasuk one way, and came Rabbi Akiva and dash in a different way. I mean, it could possibly be that Rabbi Akiva is bigger because he's not bigger. It says, Skeinim HaRishayinim. So, what do we see, Cleve in this Braisa, that Rabbi Akiva came along and overturn the previous Dasha, a previous Sanhedrin's. And there's another Gemara.
And you're saying Rabbi Kiva is based in Rabbi Kiva
somehow? Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Rambam lists for Rabbi Kiva, certainly, if Rabbi Kiva is not a Bezdin, who's a Bezdin? Now, there's actually a similar Braisa, that everybody knows. The Braisa is the Braisa of Ben Petula, which you all know in some Bezdin of Aleph. Right? Shanaim Shu Mahalchim Baterach, two people, some Bezdin of Aleph, Mom Metzia, two people are walking on the way. Uviyat Echem Mem Kidli Shalmayim, one person has a flask of water. Im shaysim shneiim, they both drink it. You know, they share the water. They die, mason. They die. Im shaysim echem ehem, if one of them drinks, magil yishuv. If one of them drinks it, he'll reach the town, right? The other person will die in the desert, I guess, wherever they are. Dalish ben betura ben adasha. Mutav shishtu shneiim, it's better both of them to drink. V'yabusu and die. V'al yir echem ehem b'misasa shal chaveru. Right? And there was one should not see his friend dying in front of him. Acheba Rabbi Akiva, to Rabbi Akiva came and said, believe me, v'chayachichimach, what do we see? The same thing too. Comes Rabbi Akiva. I mean, the parshas of this drasha is, I mean, the price is similar to the price over here in Shabbos, the same form. In other words, it's mashma the Ben Petua had a drasha that was, I guess, accepted by the previous inhabitants. And came Rabbi Akiva, and he dashed it differently. So what do we see? We see over here two braises which indicate clearly that a latter Sanhedrin can overturn a drasha of a previous Sanhedrin. That's what we see. In other words, in both braises, there's a traditional drasha that's made by previous generations, and comes along Rabbi Akiva, Achaba Rabbi Akiva, and he changed the halacha. I want to claim this is the makor of the Rambam. The makor of the Rambam that a latter Sanhedrin can overturn the drasha of a previous Sanhedrin is that we see in these two places, in these two places, that Rabbi Akiva comes along and he argues on a drasha that was accepted by previous generations of Sanhedrins, he overturns the drasha and he makes a new drasha. What better raya could there be for the Rambam than these two braises of Rabbi Akiva? In fact, now that I've convinced you of my point...
How is this better than the case of Mishnah saying it's to Amorim?
Because here, this is a drasha.
This is Tanai making drashas.
Amorim are mocking with swallows. And also, even if Amorim are making drushes, but I mean, we know that they can make original drushes. Here, Rabbi Kiva is making a drush with original dead. Okay? In any case, I want to claim that it's much like this in a Mishnah in Klisas. There's a Mishnah in Klisas. In the third parak of Klisas, in Parak Amulai, there's a series of Mishnayas of Rabbi Akiva, there's a series of Chayas, Rabbi Akiva's on Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shuwa, and there's a series of Mishnayas that there are dogs in Rabbi Akiva and the Tanoi. So the Mishnah, the Mishnah I'm speaking about, it says Vavabad Beis. So the Mishnah says, Va'ot Shaloi Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva asked, I think it was on the Leah and Rabbi Yeshua. Right? I think it's going to keep it.
Right.
That's in Tezvav and Aleph. Right. In other words, Tezvav and Aleph, right. I'm going to keep a shalti, I'm going to believe it's going to be Itlis. So there's a whole series of Mishnayas that we keep asking questions. Now, what's going to keep asking questions for? We'll see a little why. We keep asking questions. So Tezvav and Beis, V'oi, Shaloi, Rabbi Akiva, Ashechet, Hezavach, Bechutz, Be'elamechas. If a person checks five animals outside the Mishnah, and he doesn't know, between each shechita, he doesn't find out that there's a Isser Shechitas Chutz. Mao, what's it did? Chayav al kolachas v'achas. Is he chayav at Shechitas Chutz on every single corp, every single animal? Or achal al kula? Or is he chayav on one, on all of them? Amulai, is that the Loshamana? We don't know the did. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Says Rabbi Yeshua. Shamati, I heard, but oichol mizneva echad. Person eats one zeva mehei tamchuyin from, in other words, if he eats one zevach from Heng Tamchuya means from, in other words, the din is over here, is that if he eats the, in other words, from Tamchuya, Tamchuya means when they give it, in other words, they'll give out the Kaihanim, Pehelam Achas, they eat it, not knowing in between. He's chayav mila because of mila. If you use it, I did the kavachoyim. Right? I'm a b'shimah. Lo kash shalom Rabbi Akiva. Ella ba'ochon nayser Rabbi Akiva. So b'shimah is there's another question. Rabbi should give an answer. The same raya if he eats a zevach one from five tamchuyim, and chayav kol ach v'achas, and he says a kavachoyim. So Rabbi Akiva says to him, in other words, what does Rabbi Yeshua say to Rabbi Akiva? Like this, Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Akiva that I heard Epis this dead of a person eating Vacha, and respect to what you're asking about, Shkutei Chutz, it's a Kavu Chayma. No, it's a Kavu Chayma. In other words, and I think it's a Kavu Chayma. So comes. Right, and I think it's a kavuchayim. V'ray nisha dvam kavuchayim. Amar Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says to him, "Im halacha nekabel. If you have a mesayda, you know it's halacha l'mashi mesina. Fine, I'm a kabel. V'imladin. But if you're making a kavuchayim, if you're making a kavuchayim, yes, tshuva. This is a tshuva. Now, there is two ways of learning it." Okay, there's two ways of learning this. What is Rabbi Yeshua doing? You could learn in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua heard the Shemua, and then, right, that, and right now, he's learning up as a Kavu Chayma. Or it could possibly be.
He himself is learning the Kavu Chayma.
What?
He himself is.
Right? In other words, I mean, it could possibly be Rabbi Yeshua is saying Shemati Berachos Zevar Echa Behei Tamchu Behei Lebecha Juchai Mekol Achva. V'roi Ani Shadvam Kavuchay. Okay, right? And he says that the question that Rabbi Akiva is asking is a Kavuchay from this. And in other words, it comes Rabbi Akiva, right? And Rabbi Akiva says, right, im alach in the kabel, if it's alach in the kabel, v'im ladin esh v'tshuva. Now, what does he say, im alach in the kabel?
What's the other way of learning the command?
Wait, I want to say, what is alach in the kabel? Look, there's one way of learning it. In other words, it could possibly be that Rabbi Yeshua only had a Maseira on the Me'ila, yeah. Right? But he saw there's a kabel choyim into the case of Shkut Eschot. Okay? Rabbi Akiva says, look, if it's halacha, the kabel, if ladin, yesh la tshuva. What's Rabbi Akiva saying im ladin? He's learning the kabel chayma. What is Rabbi Akiva saying im halacha the kabel, vim ladin, right? In other words, he says, im halacha, shekibalti mirabcha, shekaiva kol achas min azvachim, this kabel bimimcha. Vim ladin, sha'at ha'lomid oisa bikabel chayma ila yesh tshuva. Now, what do you mean if it's halacha? You have a kabbalah from your rebbe. So, in other words, what does this mean? In other words, how is it possible that Rabbi Yeshua had a kabbalah on his rebbe on his din? He says explicitly in the Mishnah that he sees a kabbalah chayma. Could it be? Does everyone see what my question is? My question is like this. My question is, Rabbi Akiva has a question. Rabbi Yeshua says, so they say to Rabbi Akiva, we didn't hear. So Rabbi Akiva says, I heard another din. There's another din by five Tamchuyin, by Me'ila. And I'm in the Kavach Chayma to this din over here. Royani Kavach Chayma. So because Rabbi Akiva says, If you have a Kabbalah from your Rebbe, the Kabbalah is Shchut Nechot, find the Kabbalah. But if you're learning from a Kabbalah Chayma, then there's a Tshuva. Now, What's Rabbi Akiva asking? If Rabbi Yeshua is making a Kavah Chaimah now, so what was Rabbi Akiva's question if it's Allah in the Kavah? He's making a Kavah Chaimah now. I want to say like this. When he says nearly Kavah Chaimah, a little bit from Rashi, means Rabbi Yeshua said there was a halacha about Me'ilah, and he had a Kabbalah, and basically the priest who was the previous Sanhedrin, or he learned from his Rebbe, or a previous Bezdin, made a Kavah Chaimah from that. He made a Kavah Chaimah from that. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua was repeating over. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua was repeating over. In other words, did he have this halacha l'Moshe Mi'Sinai, this din, or was this din being learned as a Kavah Chaimah? So, comes to me, he says, look, if you have a Kabbalah on something, fine. But if it's a din, right, even though the previous Sanhedrin made that, doesn't make you a previous Sanhedrin, then yesh l'hashin. Meaning what? What do we see Rabbi Akiva is doing? Even though you, Rabbi Yeshua, you have a Kavah Chaimah from this din, I can come and argue on it. In other words, if this is not a straight dispute between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua. It's mashu for me. I was mashu in the Mishnah that there must have been a previous Sanhedrin, a previous Psak, that made a Kavah Chaimah. Rabbi Yeshua had a Kavah Chaimah from this. And Kamsa Yeshua says, I can offer. In other words, if you have a Kabbalah on this, then it'll be seen nine to one clip. But if what? But if all you can tell me is that you have a Kavah Chaimah from Me'ilah, I can overturn the Kavah Chaimah.
What's the nearly?
What?
Rabbi Yeshua says nearly.
Nearly, that's the way they would done it. It seems to me that they would done it from a Kavah Chaimah. It seems to me...
It's a little refibiana.
I understand that, but then you have a problem. So what's he asking? What is it that did? Rabbi Yeshua says something in Kavah Chaimah now. Answer me that question.
But that phrase appears many times in Shas.
What? I know, now you're bumbling based on your bumbles. But we see who's making
it. It's like a rhetorical thing saying...
No, I understand that. And it could possibly be, I could have brought a rhyme for my involvement base too. But the reason I'm bringing this is because we see that Rabbi Akiva is making this. In other words, it is true that the one your Vavas and my involvement base speaks about in Kabbalah the Kabbalah, by doing a doimi. If not, then Yesh Lahashim. But the question is, in other words, I mean, I picked this actually because Rabbi Akiva explicitly says like this. But I want to say, we have here a Gael. Let me call this a smach.
Also, in Yavamas, you would learn the same way?
Yeah.
Pashtus, you would learn that it's a previous.
Right. That's what I'd say. You know, if you're coming from a Kabbalah, if you have a Kabbalah, obviously, it's one thing. But if it's one of the Yudbegim Amidas, Yesh Lahashiv. Okay? In any case, right? What I want to say from this is that, in fact, what do we see from this Mishnah? What this Mishnah says that a later Sanhedrin, right, can be made shiv on the middle of a previous Sanhedrin. Now, of course, you could say maybe a Kavah Chaimah, you know, is different. You know, in other middas, ad Kavah Chaimah li'atzbay, but nonetheless, you could make that. But of course, I mean, we've seen a machlokas on that. It's mashmer according to Tosfos that all the middas, for example, shiv on like a Kavah Chaimah. The only thing I want to say is the following thing. I wanted to say that who was the Tana? Now I'm going out on a limb. Now I'm saying a chiddush. First of all, I want to claim the two prices here, you all agree with me, is a makor for the Rambam. I want to say that this is an asmachta for the Rambam. So in other words, I'm not going to pay the faculty edition, maybe the next faculty edition they can bring me from ashkafatakacircle.com, a new makor for the Rambam. But what the second chiddush that I want to say. Who was the person who initiated this judicial power that a later Sanhedrin could overturn a previous Sanhedrin? Well, I will maybe not initiate, but let's put it this way, who exercised it. I want to claim Rabbi Akiva. In other words, here in Rabbi Akiva, we have explicit examples in Shabbat. Even though the Gemara speaks of Yavam is doing a dumb in the Sanhedrin, but it could possibly be.
That's someone else, or that's anonymous?
That's someone else, but it's a Gemara with the Shos and a Gat, the Shos and the Yeah, who knows, but, you know.
You say that's a precursor.
Right. I want to claim that it could possibly be that the Tana, who is Mechadish, this notion of coming and arguing in the Midas of previous generations, right? I'm saying with great modesty, was Rabbi Akiva. which is very good. Why is it very good? First of all, that's the pshat, klom and potem come from Sinai. In other words, we learned in the previous year that klom and potem doesn't only mean, I mean, the pashtus of klom and potem, as Rashi was a long time ago, and so it meant that the potem the lachem person the chomish. But we saw in the Teres Kahanan, the potem meant things are from Teres Shmi out there. In other words, on what basis can Rabbi Akiva say, I'm overturning your drasha? Rabbi Akiva can claim that this is the drasha that was done at Sinai. In other words, I can overturn the drasha that you made yesterday because I claim that my drasha, since it's more established to me, that was the drasha that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. So in other words, it's Rabbi Akiva's notion that the Pratim, the Teresh Yopeh, was all Torah Sinai, is the essence of what I would call belatedness, a posterioriness, posteriority is the proper English term to use, which will enable what the Rambam understands is the judicial procedure by which a later Sanhedrin can overturn a previous Sanhedrin. That's Rabbi Akiva. In other words, I can make the claim that to overturn a drasha, previous Sanhedrin, only if I claim that the drasha is to be treated as if it was made or was made at Sinai. That's the theological understanding of something like this. Because if it wasn't made at Sinai, what else make the overturn of the previous Sanhedrin?
Run by the alternative, what would Rabbi Ishmael say?
Rabbi Ishmael said, no, once we make the drashas and there's clear logical drashas, you have no right to come against the drasha. In other words, you're a later bezdin. Why should you argue a previous bezdin? The answer is, what allows the second bezdin to argue with the first bezdin? The second bezdin could claim that that's the proper drasha from Sinai.
The previous bezdin was wrong.
Right.
They had the wrong drasha.
Right, or more accurate, say wrong, whatever. In other words, In other words, I would say that in terms of what's called Yerida Sadeiras, how could a second generation, for example, Arish, let's for example, the Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel, the Rishonim could argue in Goyim, if they could bring a right from the Gemara. That's what the Rosh says, okay? In Lamed Gimel, but Alfa Sanhedrin. So therefore, what allows the Rishonim to argue in the Goyim? Not because Rishon is greater than God, because he could claim to a greater authority. He could claim the Shas, he claimed that's what Rav Ashi meant. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva could say, right, why can I overturn the drasha of Rishon Sanhedrin? Because I claim that was the drasha that Moshe Rabbeinu heard, that he made. That was the part that was given to Sinai. In other words, the theological basis of arguing on a previous Sanhedrin, in my opinion, can only be justified if I could say that really, my drasha is the original drasha. My drasha is a true drasha.
Yeah, why can't, according to Bishmael, the klalim were Har Sinai and the pratim were in Aravos Mo'ed?
Why? No, how could the pratim were not Har Sinai? Because, in other words, there's a Torah, according to Bishmael, there's a strict division between Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat. The Torah Shabbat is derived from Torah Shabbat.
Yes.
So there's a step. You know, go for Torah Shabbat. Next step, number two, Torah Shabbat.
And once it's derived, it becomes formalized.
That's right, it's formalized. But according to Rabbi Akiva, right? I'm telling you the Torah Shabbat Ksav. That's the meaning of Torah Shabbat Ksav. There's those two things, Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat. That's the Torah Shabbat Ksav. I'm claiming that this is the meaning of the Torah Shabbat Ksav. Or I claim that this law was set at Sinai. I claim priority was set at Sinai. This is the way law was set at Sinai. You misunderstood it. You lost the Messiah. However you want to say it. In other words, I can claim to argue on previous Sanhedrins. Why? Because I can claim that my logic came first. That's the logic of Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the logic of Moshe Rabbeinu.
What?
Kodesh Amud Beis? That's exactly what he's saying. When he said Allah should be Sinai, the Shashva Daitan, that's exactly what's happening with Malachi. In other words, Rabbi Akiva can claim that his Allah is Allah should be Sinai. Rabbi Akiva, right? And not the just
said to be clean that that was the bemis what Moshe Rabbeinu himself said.
Whatever it is, yeah. In other words, I have to claim. In other words, there has to be some type of a belated, right? A posterioriness, a posteriority, right? In order to say what I'm saying. Otherwise, how? Why would Rabbi Akiva come along and change just the previous generations? In any case.
But what does it mean Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't understand?
I don't want to go into that right now. However we understand, you understood it b'chush, you understood it intuitively. In other words, it's not important how we understand it. Lashon HaRa. The important thing is that if I say the Pratim and the Klalim were said at Sinai, which means every drush I'm saying is saying at Sinai, so I claim that's theologically equivalent to saying that, right, that I can argue on anything that came out after Sinai. Anything that came out after Sinai, because I claim that mine was said at Sinai. That's the justification. That's the theological basis of what I'm saying. So, the shiur that I gave, we spoke in shiur number 8 last week, we spoke about this a prioriness of Rabbi Akiva, a posteriority of Rabbi Akiva. The belatedness, to use Harold Bloom, literary critic Harold Bloom's expression, the belatedness of Rabbi Akiva, right, is related to the concept that later generations can argue on previous generations. Because later generations will say, this is the drasha of the Torah. This is the Torah. The Torah of Sabbath and the Torah of Yalpeh. The Torah of Sedat Sinai. And lo and behold, we see that the figure, the central figure in belatedness and Shas, is the same central figure who, as I have shown you, right, provides the Talmudic basis for the Rambam's psak that in a drasha, a later Sanhedrin could argue on a previous Sanhedrin. So in other words, the concept, or the judicial, right, mechanism of arguing on previous generations is merely another consequence of Rabbi Akiva's belatedness, which is a consequence of the fact that Rabbi Akiva holds the Torah and Ksav Torah Shpeh are one and the same. Which is not, I claim, not like Rabbi Yishmael. And this is Rabbi Akiva, Achama Rabbi Akiva. So we see that Rabbi Akiva makes this tremendous, called revolution, change in paradigm in the history of Midrashi Halacha, is that Rabbi Akiva holds that the Teresh Mi'apeh is not something distinct from the Teresh Mi'asav, and that in fact the Pratim were given at Sinai, and moreover, right, the later generations can argue on the previous generations by virtue of these two foundations. That's what I want to say. So we have here an incredible process in the Midas, an incredible process. What we have is, let's summarize the whole series of shiurim that we've given. This is the 9th shiur. We begin with perhaps, you know, logical understandings, svaras of the early generations. Hillel takes these and places it into a text, which we call Yigim Amidus, creates a Zecher Shava, etc., etc. Even the Kabbal Chaimah can become a Binyanav. In other words, we create a text. And Rabbi Yishoel, this text is amplified, but this text is a new logical text. It uses abstract vehicles, but it posits a distinction between the Torah Shal and Torah Shpeh. Torah Shpeh is something derived from the Torah Shal, the two separate components, right? And then there's a reunion. The Torah Shal and Torah Shpeh come back together again. They come back together in Rabbi Akiva. In other words, first you have what Hillel's Makabel from the previous generations, which creates the text of the Yigim Amidus. It makes it scriptural. But then we have the Yigim Amidus, which, in other words, it gives it the level of scripture, But we make rules now by which we can derive things from the Pesukim. And the things derived from the Pesukim, the Yikul Mil is the way in which we derive things and create what's called the separate body of oral law. And comes Rabbi Akiva, and basically what he does is he affects a total breakdown of the distinction. The oral law and the written law just merge into one. The Klal of Prat HaKlal, which is the epitome of a logical, descriptive system of sets, right? Rabbi Akiva breaks it down. He just takes two words, adds two things, and makes it totally scriptural. So in other words, in Rabbi Akiva, we see this incredible, this Rabbi Akiva, in a sense, dissolves the midas, and basically creates a dynamic creativity of Teresh B'al Peh, which on one hand allows him to argue in the drushas of the previous generation, besides. And that's the Makor L'Rambam. That's Rabbi Akiva. So we've come full circle, in a certain sense.
Are we stuck now with the Tzedukim again?
So what's interesting is that why did Rabbi Akiva do this? In other words, I mentioned in Shir number 3 that, I mean, Hillel did this. Why do we need to create a text? Because the Tzedukim were not Makabo, the Sfaras, the Das Torah of those who became beforehand. So we had to create a text. And then we had Rabbi Ishmael.
How does that help with them?
In other words, the Stukim didn't accept what's called the pre-Gzereshava Hekesher. So now we create a text. You know, it's a canon. Gzereshava comes a new text. A rule that comes from Scripture. So it can't be assailed.
They claim Masorah?
It can't be assailed logically.
They claim Masorah.
Whatever it is, they claim that they disagree with it. So we claim that now we make rules that we learn things from the actual words. Mm-hmm.
They were saying it's arbitrary. We're saying no, it's not
right,
arbitrary.
Right, yeah. We never, you know, we have to move word. They would know. They were, if it's a svara, they could argue. Mm-hmm. But then, right, they could argue on svaras. But once we say it's two words, mm-hmm. we make rules, so they can argue. They come out. So this is what we spoke about this. Logical rules are assailable, but scriptural rules, textual rules, are not assailable. That's what we spoke about. Okay, comes Rabbi Akiva. Right? And basically, according to Rabbi Akiva, I mean, we go back again. Now we're arguing with the previous generation. Now, we leave ourselves open to the Tzedukim. We leave ourselves open to the Tzedukim. So, I want to claim, right, is that this was a one-time thing. Now, based upon this, I want to explain a Gemara in Pevavah Ben Aleph, in Bava Metzia. No, Pevavah Ben in Sanhedrin. Right? The Gemara is Sanhedrin. That was maybe get a Sanhedrin. I'll be going. The Gemara says, in Pevavah Ben Aleph, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Stam Mastis Rabbi Meir, Stam Tesepte Rabbi Chemia, Stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda, Stam Sifrei Rabbi Shemin, V'kul Olim De Rabbi Akiva. What's Kul Olim De Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Rashi says, V'mar Shalom De Rabbi Akiva Amor. And like I said, in other words, the Gemara says, the Gemara Megillah says, Rabbi Akiva Stamor, the Gemara says. I want to claim that Rabbi Akiva, I mean, of course, there are Tanayim who make drushes after Rabbi Akiva, but the main body of Tanaic literature, as we know it, comes from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, basically, is the beginning of the establishment of the canon. In other words, Rabbi Akiva could have been left over to Tzedukim, but his Talmidim, quickly, after the generation of Rabbi Akiva, what do the students do? They created the canon. And then, that's Rabbi Meir, the Mishnah. The law of Rabbi comes from Rabbi Akiva. After that, comes Rabbi, and what does he do? He's Masada the Mishnah. He creates now a new base of the canon, which is, as we've spoken about many times, the Gemara, which we've established the Mishnah. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is already the beginning of the creation of a new canon, of a canon of Torah Shebi'al Peh. Because the Derech of Rabbi Akiva, of course, cannot be continued that much longer. then the Stukim will come along and say, well, we can argue too. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva, even though his methodology was to argue enough before him, nonetheless, this was quickly closed. Right. It's frozen. There was two generations and it's frozen.
So we have Hillel creating this new paradigm, which is Hillel is the basis of the beginning of the Tanaim. Then we have an expansion through Rabbi Yishmael and the Midas. Then we have like Hillel, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael codifies it. Rabbi Yishmael loosens it. Rabbi Akiva loosens everything. Right. His Talmidim come and then solidify it.
It's like the inflationary universe. Right. I think when it's like a big bang, it's a very inflation, and all of a sudden it's frozen.
Right. Which happened then by Hillel and by before Hillel and before Rabbi Akiva.
And that's really the that, in my opinion, is really the history of the Yukim and Midas. Or the Midas, I think it's by it.
So the Midas really finished enough for Akiva, basically.
And Achan be right. In other words, and that's what it's Stam Sifro is Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
The Stam Sifri is Rabbi Akiva. This is Sifri, but Stam Sifri is Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
In other words, Rabbi Akiva basically.
Even though it's Rabbi Ishmael, it's Rabbi Akiva because of this.
It's Rabbi Akiva because of this.
Right.
Because of Rabbi Akiva. In other words, Rabbi Akiva basically creates a new Torah Shabbat Sav.
And that's it. And Rebbe's the next generation after him.
Right. In fact, now that we spoke about the Yulma base, he's back.
Right. He's just finishing off this process of
Right. In fact, Rebbe's actually making the next two paragraphs, which is Gemara.
Right.
In other words, not only does the Tershbel Peh become become a canon, but it replaces scripture as the text of interpretation to be interpreted. Incredible. That's going to be Akiva. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, this gives us a overview of really the history of the time of the Droshes from Hillel until really Rabbi Akiva, and then finally his Talmidim, Rabbi Meir, and Rebbe, and that's the convocation of Tosheh up there. Now, what's interesting, I want to just make one more important point, which is which we actually seen. It's interesting is that the Gemara says in Saita, we spoke about it in Tesavet Aleph, that Mishabesh Rabbi gave a bottle covered at Torah. So Rabbi says, Rashi says he was Mesa Nefesh to be Deirish. Every ice for ice, and he brings from Rabbi Yishmael, Sanhedrin, because of Bavav. But really, what is the lashon of kavod haTorah? So kavod, translated English, means honor. But it seems to me that the term kavod probably means, in other words, spirituality itself. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hanin Az Kavodecha." In other words, kavod means regardless, God's space, regardless. That's what we say, that Mishameis Rabbi Akiva bottle kavod haTorah, when Rabbi Akiva put the Torah Shebe'al Peh, is the Torah Shebe'al Ksav. That's called kavod. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu is there. That's kavod haTorah. Rabbi Akiva, who shows the spirit, the Rabbi Akiva shows the Torah Shebe'al Peh in every word of Torah Shebe'al Ksav. That's called the kavod.
Back at Har Sinai.
Right. That's called the kavod. I mean, not kavod. That's called Mishabeinu Rabbi Bottle Kavod haTorah. What does that mean? Bottle Kavod haTorah. No one can do that anymore. Everything else there was just sort of like a likud.
The Rabbi Akiva before either.
What I'm saying is, Mishameis Rabbi Akiva bottle kavod haTorah means that after Rabbi Akiva passed away, after his nifter, no one can do this anymore. All this Talmid did was malachat the halachas that come as a result of this kavod of Rabbi Akiva that he created, that he showed. And that's what it means, Mishameis Rabbi Akiva bottle kavod haTorah. After Rabbi Akiva, then what was that? Mishnah Tosefta. It's all really sort of like consequences footnotes or likutim of Rabbi Akiva. That's kulam alibid Rabbi Akiva. And that's Mishamei's bottle cover atayim. So, we've seen in several places that Chazal even regatas, and they're just telling us stories and facts about history, but they're giving us, in my opinion, giving us tremendous insight into really the development and the emergence and the process and the revelation of the Torah Shebi'al Peh from the Torah Shebi'al. Okay, we're going to stop over here. This is the last of the, this is the end of the ninth shiur. And we still have not really discussed all the repercussions of this shiur, because we have a lot more to go, a lot deeper to go. But since we're running out of time, I want to wish everybody kol tov hatzlacha from the undisclosed place in Yerushalayim HaKadosh. Until next week, be well. Kol tov.